What up, everybody? Happy 4th of July. We're live and local on a Saturday morning. It's Denton Day, D-Day, in D.C. with you as we celebrate the country and we get outside. It's hot today, though. Like, really, really hot. So whatever it is that you're doing to enjoy the holiday, get the water. Hydration breaks frequently, right? We've seen these all over the World Cup. The real football fans complain about hydration breaks. I didn't know that wasn't a thing overseas, but you need a hydration break today. I hope everybody is having a happy and fun start to the day. Quite honestly, if you're already up and you're smoking meat, give me a call. 800-636-1067. I want to live vicariously through you. I'm not going to have smoked meat today. I'm going to get on a grill at some point, depending on the temperature of when I actually get on the grill. Because I got to be honest, I know that we're supposed to love grilling, and I like it. I don't want to sit over top of a grill when it's 105 degrees outside. That doesn't sound like an appealing way to spend any sort of time. But if you're smoking meat already, give me a call. I want to know what you're smoking. Otherwise, what do you have on the grill today if you're not smoking meat? Give me a call, 800-636-1067. We got the Nats and Pirates in action in a little over 90 minutes. It's the first game of the day, as it should be, on the 4th of July. The Nats took down the Pirates yesterday relatively handedly. The offense for the Nationals has been, as many of you know, very, very good. Over the past, well, season, really. Like the past 4 or 5 months, even dating back to spring training, it's felt like, hey, they might have something here. And the way that they've been playing has been really, really impressive. So they're in action today. We'll get into that. Might have a play or two to make you a little bit of money at the end of the program. You can follow me on Twitter, by the way, at The Denton Day. What I've spent most of my time doing over the past couple of days is what many of you have spent most of your time doing over the past couple of days, and that's watching soccer and pretending like I know soccer. I don't know soccer. I gave up soccer at the age of 9, and I really haven't picked it up since. I had a couple of friends that played in college. I would watch them, but that's really about it. I've had a couple of friends try and convince me that I need to have support for an EPL team. I have not picked up on that. It also, why do they say support and not become a fan? That, like, I'm in between the soccer language. Like, I am at the language barrier because I still speak in mostly American terms, but then some people will talk to me in, like, soccer terms, and I don't get that. Like, I'm not there yet. But, man, some of these games have been fun, dude. You're watching Argentina and Cape Verde yesterday. That is an epic way to have a soccer match in the round of 32 in the World Cup. Because first and foremost, you have Messi, and that's the GOAT. If your GOAT is Ronaldo, you're a loser. The GOAT is Messi. And watching Messi play, but really watching the defense of Cape Verde, specifically in the second half, feel like they always had some sort of answer for the greatest soccer player that has ever lived was incredibly impressive. The keeper standing on his head. I mean, multiple big-time saves that he made late in the game. Argentina won. That shouldn't have gone to extra time the way they were playing. They should have scored. Messi himself should have had a hat trick. But the defense of Cape Verde kept them in the game, and then the way that their offense was able to play late, taking advantage of Argentina's lapses on defense, and then that crazy, crazy goal in the 103rd minute to tie the match 2-2. Again, not like this world-class soccer knowledge, but I'm smart enough. You're smart enough to know when something really cool happens. To know when something like, hey, that doesn't normally happen, but we all just watched that together, and that's what it felt like yesterday. Now, I say all of that to say, thank God Argentina won. Thank God Argentina won. As fun as that was, I want Messi. I want more of Messi. and understanding that this is likely going to be his final bout in international play, Cape Verde would have been an awesome story. Like a really, really awesome story. If they would have robbed us of Messi, I would have been furious. Because it's a great story for that purpose for like 24 hours. And then you realize, oh my God, the greatest soccer player of all time is not in the World Cup anymore. And we didn't get a clash of like Argentina and France to see Messi and Mbappe, to see a rematch of the title the last time the World Cup was up and active. Like, we didn't get to see an Argentina and Brazil or an Argentina or Spain or an Argentina like taking on a real soccer powerhouse like the United States of America. Like, we would have been robbed of all of those things. So as fun as the actual match was and the back and forth and this underdog nation that has just over 500,000 people going toe to toe with a nation that has millions and millions of people, as great as that was, thank God Argentina won. I did look up Cape Verde because I didn't know where that was. I'm pretty decent at history, but like I don't know geography very well. And you know, in looking up Cape Verde, I'm very much more impressed with their ability to play the beautiful game. Whenever you look up a place, and I just Googled it, like I didn't do anything special, I just Googled it. And there was nothing but beaches in sight on Google. There are beaches, except for one picture, which was this very nice big mountain, because it's a group of islands, if you're unaware. Look at me, history professor, geography, Professor Denton on 106.7 The Fan. It's a group of islands. I'm always impressed when you have a great sports story come from a place like there, because let me tell you, I'd much rather be at the beach. The water in the pictures at Cape Verde was incredibly blue. Like, could you imagine if you lived by a beach with incredibly blue water? We're here stuck with the Potomac with water that's like 18 shades of brown because it's so polluted. Could you imagine being with nothing but beautiful blue crystal water? I wouldn't be playing soccer. I'd be on the beach. I'd be in a boat. I'd be doing so many other things. So the fact that they have all of these things at their fingertips and they still play soccer, that to me is impressive, and play it at a very high level. Team USA is in action on Monday. So you celebrate the weekend, and then they're in action Monday, 8 p.m. against Belgium. That is going to be a real telltale test for Team USA, right? Right? Like, I joke about them being a powerhouse. I know they're not. This is all new. It's fun as hell. It's all new. And then not having Flo Balogun is going to be a really challenging spot for Team USA, but this is adversity. And if you're going to do something special in the world of sports, you always have to have some signature moment of adversity. It feels like that's what this is for Team USA. Portugal and Spain are going to play on Monday as well. Team USA gets the winner of that game when they beat Belgium, because the expectation is they're going to beat Belgium. That is the thought. You're going to beat Belgium. This is on your home turf. It's going to be in Seattle. That place is going to be a raucous environment. It should be very, very heavy in favor of Team USA. Like, we're talking 90-10 in favor of Team USA, maybe pushing 95-5. I don't know how Belgium's travel, but it should be like 90-10. This is a game where Team USA really decides, are we about the soccer life or are we not about the soccer life? Because if you beat Belgium and you get to take on what my thought, I think Spain's going to beat Portugal. I'm not a Ronaldo guy, if that wasn't clear yet. Ronaldo, loser, Messi, goat. I'm not a Ronaldo guy. So my expectation is it's going to be Spain. If the U.S. gets to the round of eight and they play Spain, boom, soccer nation. Winning one knockout stage match when you have everything moving in your favor, it's on your home turf. I need at least two. I need you to at least beat Belgium. And I do think they're going to do it. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. It's the 4th of July. Celebrating. I want to know how you're celebrating. If you got firework plans, please keep all 10 fingers. Please. We don't need anything going crazy. But I want to know your plans. I want to know what you have on the grill. I got hot dogs in the fridge that are going to be grilled. I have many a condiments. Also, I'd like to know how you dress a hot dog. I'm like everything on it. I guess I'm a child because I like ketchup, but I also like mustard and relish. And if you got onions, I'm going to put some onions on there, chopped preferably. I don't want just long onion strands. I want the chopped onions. But I want to know how you dress a dog. Like, give me everything that I need to know about you for the 4th of July. 800-636-1067. I'm debating, and I need a ruling on this. Brats are okay on the 4th of July, right? Like, I know we got dogs, we got burgers, maybe you're grilling some chicken up, some steak, smoking meat if you're smoking a brisket, like that's American as hell. Are brats okay on the 4th of July? I know it's like traditionally a German thing, but I love a brat with a little bit of peppers and onions, like a sausage pepper hero situation going on. So you get a dog on one side of the plate, you get the brat on the other side of the plate, because let's be honest, we're getting after it, right? Because I'm going to grill up some brats. Like, that's the plan. I'm going to have some hot dogs, and I'm going to have some brats. But I need to know, does that make me more or less American? Because I'm not trying to step on any toes. I think I am going to bet Mexico in their match against England. That's going to take place on Sunday. But I feel like on the 4th of July, now would be the time to place the bet against England. Just, you know, the history of what this day is. So I got a lot of different things that I got going on today, and I would love to know what you have going on. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Nats and Pirates in action in about 90 minutes. I will tell you, I'm not pleased with what Major League Baseball has done with the 4th of July. We will get there, but coming up next, are the Wizards still in the LeBron James sweepstakes? We have our answer, or do we? That's next on 106.7 The Fan. Got to be blasting this one today. Get out in the park, get hydrated. What do you have on the grill? 800-636-1067. We're live and local in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. Denton Day, D-Day sitting in on this Saturday. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. Twitter is where I go to. Commander Jigga says, I got to have ribs on the grill. So he's going to be grilling out on some ribs. I made ribs a couple of months ago. I didn't do them on the grill because the grill situation at my apartment complex was a little wonky at the time. Popped them in the oven. Let me tell you, they're fantastic. I made them for Easter, so I was entertaining. My brother came over. My brother is a connoisseur. This is going to sound weird. He's a connoisseur of meat. He loves the steaks, the ribs, all of it, right? He watches all these butcher videos. He sends them to me. So he was coming over. I knew the ribs had to be fantastic, and they were. Crushed it. So ribs on the grill for Commander Jigga. Maybe I can find... I'm going to a farmer's market after the show. Maybe I can find a rack of ribs on the low for the... maybe you can find a rack of ribs on the low and pop that in on the grill now that the grill is working at the apartment complex. You know what made me happy on Friday? Not the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce stuff. We will get to that. It made me so happy that LeBron James apparently does not have the Wizards on his list of teams. When this graphic and this podcast that went live on Friday of Rich Paul breaking down everybody that was in the discussion for LeBron James, and he had 10 teams on there, and the Wizards were not one of them. It was such a gigantic sigh of relief. And there's multiple ways of looking at this. On one hand, I would love the player that is LeBron James to come to DC and to work with AJ DeBonsta for what's likely a year. I can't imagine that LeBron is going to play deep into his mid-40s. I'd say he gets a year, maybe like max 2 years. But he's dealing with more injuries as he gets older. Also, there's other things to do. The dude's been playing basketball for like 35 years at this point. There's other things to do. You're a billionaire. Like, go enjoy the fruits of the label of your labor. So I can't imagine that LeBron is playing multiple years. I would have loved to have the player of LeBron James. I would love to have the basketball mind of LeBron James. And I do think, in a sense, he could fit with what Washington is looking to do in 2026. So that is true. That's one side of the coin. The problem is the coin has two sides. In the theatrics, I'm good. Don't need them. I don't need the agent doing a podcast on a Friday where he's pleading. Like, it sounded, I watched some of it. I didn't watch all of it. It sounded like Rich Paul was pleading for teams to come and pay attention to LeBron James. I mean, the whiteboard and the little pointer that he has. And he was at one point begging the Knicks. I mean, there was a real part in the podcast where he said that Jalen Brunson needs to call LeBron James to make it okay for LeBron James to go to the Knicks. I love watching this experience from the sidelines. I can't imagine being roped into this theatrical release of this theatrical reach around, this ego grab that LeBron and his agent are putting on at the moment. I can't imagine being heels deep into this and hoping that he chooses you, like a very, very weird version of the sports bachelorette or sports bachelor. LeBron at 42 years, it's the golden bachelor. LeBron James at 42 years old, making a decision as to where he's going to play basketball. It was kind of washed, the thought, after the decision 16 years ago. So running it back and doing the same thing is a little intense for my liking. Now, if they document the whole process, you bet your ass I'm going to watch it. 100% I'm going to be watching this thing because I do like LeBron James. I just don't want to be involved in this because I'm so, so happy with the way currently that free agency and the offseason has gone for the Wizards. Will Dawkins and Michael Winger are doing an unbelievable job at the moment. And the only thing entertainment-wise that I want to be really paying attention to this offseason is not where is LeBron James going to be playing. Is LeBron James going to be coming to Washington? What I want to be paying attention to is the video series that the Wizards are putting out on a regular basis of all of the guys. You want to talk about culture building, of all of the guys being and staying in D.C. when they could be elsewhere. They could be in Cabo. They could be in Hawaii. They could be in Cape Verde hanging out. They could be in the Caribbean, Turks and Caicos. Like, they could be so many other places. And they're here, and they're working, and they're building something that has the potential to be really, really special in a way that the basketball team has not been in this city in over 50 years. And it does feel like if you bring everything that LeBron James comes with, because of as good of a player as he is, you have to get the baggage that comes with it and the spotlight that he brings and the demand that LeBron James brings. Everyone, he is his own solar system. He has his own gravitational pull. So you drop him into what Washington is doing and everything changes. Everything. They adjust to him. He'll adjust a little bit to them, but you're adjusting at that point to LeBron James. And the fact that that is not going to be the case, to me, feels like a big-time win for the Wizards. And you just get to focus on all of the things that you want to do well. You get to focus on all of the positives, the things that you're looking to build. You get to focus on A.J. DeBonsta. And you don't have to worry about LeBron James. You get to focus on Trae Young. You don't got to worry about LeBron James. You get to focus on Anthony Davis, which, by the way, we've seen so many different things take place in this NBA offseason. Is there any bigger way of suggesting how wrong that rumor was at the beginning of the week, where LeBron will only play in Golden State if Anthony Davis is traded there? Is there any bigger way of suggesting how silly that report was than what Rich Paul did on Friday, where the Warriors are still on the list of 10 and the Wizards are not? If LeBron James loved this dude Anthony Davis as much as we thought he did at the beginning of the week, why would you not then want to come play also with Trae Young here in D.C., in a place where he has said multiple times on his podcast that he does with Steve Nash that he loves what Washington is building? If that's real friendship, where's the connection there? Where's the love? I'm still a little sour too, by the way. Like, it would not feel correct to see LeBron James in a Wizards uniform, I've largely gotten over the Gilbert thing from 20 years ago because it was 20 years ago. And like you have to move on. And that you know, the Cavaliers went one direction. The Wizards went another direction. And the Wizards' direction was not positive. So you kind of get over it. I realized that in my hatred for LeBron James that I held for the next like 7 or 8 years, I needed to release that because I was missing out on great basketball. And like watching the NBA in the last 20 years and being a dedicated LeBron James hater has to be a miserable experience. I wanted to enjoy it. So I dropped a lot of the LeBron James hate in my heart that I had because it was vitriol. Like I really did not like that dude after the Gilbert thing. But it does feel like, because the brain is a very weird thing, it does feel like if LeBron James would then come to D.C., a lot of those, there would need to be some healing done. A lot of the emotions that I thought were gone, because surely LeBron James is never going to come to the Wizards, so why does it matter? A lot of those things that were gone would then come back to the surface, and I'd have to address those, and LeBron might have to address those. And if you've been a Wizards fan and you were my age, because I was like 10, that was 06, I was like 10 years old, about to turn 11 years old. I mean, that's like pinnacle sports heartbreak time as a fan. You're seeing something take place, and Gilbert was my guy. Like, I would dress up as, I had the Gilbert Arenas jersey. One of my best friends was neighbors with the then PA voice of the Wizards. And when Gilbert was doing his tossing the jersey into the stands bit, there was a game he didn't play. He just handed the jersey to the PA announcer. His name was Kevin. Shout out to Kevin. He just handed Kevin the jersey and said, give it to someone that you know. He gave it to his neighbors. Neighbors like, I don't like Gilbert Arenas, but I know who does. Denton does. So I got this big ass like game jersey of Gilbert Arenas. Gilbert was my guy. And then to see LeBron treat him that way was just, it was a heartbreaking moment for a 10-year-old, 11-year-old fan of DC. It would feel weird to see LeBron James back or LeBron James in the Wizards jersey, especially when you get a retro night. Like, could you, like, the feeling of LeBron James in the gold jersey, it doesn't sit right. So anyway, that's my way of coping with the fact that they were not, like, the Wizards weren't on the 10. Are you serious? Are you serious? Like, I'm all over the place because I didn't want him here, but, like, there is a respect thing that needs to come here, and, like, you don't see us as viable? You'd rather go play with the Timberwolves? You don't want to be in that cold-ass Minnesota winter. LeBron James ain't want to be a negative 2-degree winter. You know why? Because nobody wants to be a negative 2-degree winner. I mean, that man literally said through agents, happiness. I care about my happiness, and then would openly want to go live in the city of Philadelphia? Ew. Like, are you serious? He was lying. Anyway, the Wizards did make a big time move for one of LeBron James's former teammates. I love it. I'll tell you why that is next. It's D-Day in DC. I want to 6-7 the fan. How are you celebrating the 4th of July, the 250th birthday of the country? 800-636-1067. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. On this day, 10 years ago, which is crazy that this was 10 years ago, Kevin Durant made his decision to join the Golden State Warriors. It shifted the way that NBA basketball has operated since that very moment. It was also then the same day where we found out that Russell Westbrook was calling Kevin Durant a cupcake because he continually posted pictures of cupcakes on social media. If LeBron James in 2006, I'm realizing that heartbreak comes for me as a Wizards fan in like 10-year cycles, because if LeBron James in 2006 broke my heart when he went up to Gilbert Arenas at the free throw line and said, if you miss these two, you know what's about to happen. And then Gilbert missed these two free throws, which I don't know that he had ever really done ever in the history of his life, because he's such a good shooter at the free throw line. When he went up to Gilbert and said that, and then the Wizards lost, it broke my heart. And then 10 years later, I was silly enough to have optimism that Kevin Durant would return to Washington, D.C., his home, after watching LeBron James return to Cleveland and win a championship, to have him then say, no, I don't want to play in D.C. I'm going to go play with the Golden State Warriors. That was heartbreaking. Thankfully, in 2026, it's been all good things for the Wizards. LeBron isn't choosing to play here. That's fine. Don't really want him here. You get A.J. DeBonsta. You get Trae Young. At this point, if Anthony Davis just decides to be like, actually, I don't want to play here, that's not even heartbreaking. This saga has been really, really weird. But he was working out in a Wizards t-shirt. So maybe they're back. I feel like I'm in high school trying to decipher signs. Anthony Davis wearing a Wizards shirt. He's back. He wants to be here for forever. He's happy. Don't give him the extension, but we love that he's happy. This season's going to be great. This season is going to be good for Washington. They're going to be a playoff team, and that's a playoff team, not a play-in team. They're going to be in the playoffs, the final eight. I don't count being like the nine seed and getting ousted in the play-in as a playoff team. That's not a win. Washington's going to be a playoff team in 2026 and 2027. I don't really have any doubt about that, the way that this offseason has gone. And that continued yesterday with the acquisition of DeAndre Ayton. Now, if you're not watching NBA basketball on a regular basis, if you are exclusively on social media for a majority of your NBA news, you see that trade and you're like, why the hell are the Wizards drafting this joke DeAndre Ayton? Because for almost his entirety of his NBA career, he has largely been the butt of jokes. Some of that is very warranted, by the way. Some of it is not. Really, he was the guy that Phoenix drafted ahead of Luka Doncic. And for that reason, because everybody knew that Luka Doncic was going to be a star, he was drafted ahead of Trae Young. Most people knew that Trae Young was going to be a star because Trae Young at Oklahoma was a big-time deal. Trust me, if you were around during that time and paying attention, ESPN made you know about it. Trae Young, I got so many notifications from ESPN about Trae Young. It was legitimately insane. I'm glad he's on our team now, but the way that ESPN handled his season at Oklahoma was ridiculous because he was another short guard that could shoot threes, and this was kind of when Steph Curry was taking over, so they wanted to make him like the next Steph Curry. Ayton was drafted in front of both of those guys, so he's always going to be looked at a little bit differently. On top of that, this was when the NBA was making the transition to, you got to have a guy that can shoot threes, DeAndre Ayton. If DeAndre Ayton shoots more than six threes for the Washington Wizards, I don't care how many games he plays for this franchise, if he shoots more than six threes for the Washington Wizards, it's a problem. That's a back-to-the-basket kind of a guy. That's why I love the move. That's a back-to-the-basket kind of a guy. He can play rim protection. He can rebound at a high level. And if he is your third big man, this is going to be a great combination. Because Anthony Davis at the power forward, we know he doesn't want to play center. Alex Sarr at center, and then you rotate DeAndre Ayton into that, Champagne into that, and then maybe you can move, if you want to go a little smaller, potentially. You could get a lineup of like DeBonsta at the four, George at the three, Trey Johnson at the two, Trey at the one, right? Play that in the second or third quarter, something like that. It gives you a lot of options, but it almost guarantees now that you will always have at least one, but potentially two guys that are defending the rim. And that's the luxury of a pick like this. I mean, this is a guy that career 15 and 10. You'll take 15 and 10. Now, he's not going to play nearly enough minutes to give you actual 15 and 10, and that's fine. 20 to 25 minutes for DeAndre Ayton. Cap it at that, but just get the most out of those 20 to 25 minutes. Really, probably 15 to like 22. If we're being honest, we don't need to see 25. That means either Anthony Davis is hurt or one of Anthony Davis and Alex Sarr is in foul trouble. Don't want that. But you get like, you know, 15 to 22 minutes and he's giving you like 12 and 8. I'll take that. Like, that's a great, great pick. You just got to surround DeAndre Ayton with guys, personally, that have his best in mind. You're going to need to surround DeAndre Ayton with a guy, let's just say, hypothetically, and honestly, like, thank God DeAndre Ayton is here now and not last year. All indications, it's very far out. All indications, the winter is going to be much more friendly to the average person this year, right? Why is that important? Because there was a time, butt of the joke time, there was a time where DeAndre Ayton did not play in a basketball game when he was playing with the Trailblazers because it was too icy to get out of his driveway. NBA player, hella resources, could not get out of his driveway, could not find someone to pick him up to get him out of his driveway, couldn't walk to the top of the cul-de-sac or the street, wherever he lives, to get an Uber, to get to the arena. He just, too icy, couldn't get out of his driveway, didn't play. So if DeAndre Ayton was here last year during, you know, Snowcrete, he would have missed like six games, dude. Like he would have never gotten out. He would have never made it to Cap One. He would have never gotten on the plane when they traveled. I mean, I could barely get out of my damn apartment. I have no resources. I don't have anywhere near the amount of resources that DeAndre Ayton has. So I'm glad that he's coming here when there's not going to be Snowcrete. That's a win. So you just got to surround him with people that have his best interest in mind and that are going to lift him when he does something that's just a little silly. Just a little silly. I think he's matured since then. I would hope he's matured since then. Like, please, please have matured since then. But you just got to make sure that you're surrounding him with people that are going to get the best DeAndre Ayton out of DeAndre Ayton. I don't want him to be the butt of the joke anymore here. We've been there, done that. There's this long lineage of Lakers and Wizards, of Lakers players, centers coming over to Washington, of Washington centers going over and playing in Los Angeles. It's like JaVale McGee, who was the main character of Shaqt and a Fool for such a long time. It was Dwight Howard when he came here and then played like four games because he had a butt injury. Like, it gets weird around these parts, right? It started with Kwame Brown all the way back, you know, 20 plus years ago. It gets weird. It gets weird. So I prefer the weirdness to stop. Like, let's just get a good player that's going to give you 12-8 in 15 to 22 minutes and be a great rotational piece to what is becoming, I mean, Washington right now is like a 10-11 deep lineup. Yeah, I'm seeing all these things on Twitter of like, here's how I would position the lineup. And you get like Trey Young at the one, George at the two, DeBonsta three, Davis four, Sar five. And then bench players, you get Koulibaly, Bub, Trey Johnson, Champagne, DeAndre Ayton. So that's 10 guys right there, and that doesn't even consider Will Riley. So that's like 11 guys. I think Will Riley is going to have another good season in 2026. That's 11 deep that Washington could go. Of course, we don't want no damn LeBron James. That's 11 deep that Washington could go. Winger and Dawkins have done a great job in building this particular roster. So I'd love the DeAndre Ayton move. It was polarizing. I don't buy it. I love it. He's not going to be asked to do a ton. You're just getting like the best of DeAndre Ayton here in Washington, and I'm all right with that. It's D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan, 800-636-1067. What do you got on the grill to celebrate the 4th of July? We'll take some of your phone calls. We get the Nats and Pirates in under an hour, or a little over an hour. Pregame starts in under an hour. I do have a bone to pick with Major League Baseball. I'll do that in 20 minutes. When we get back, though, we do have to talk about the story of the day yesterday, the wedding, Taylor, Travis. I was, something weirded me out about that, and I'll tell you what that is when we get back. It's D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. Happy 4th of July. We're live and local on 106.7 The Fan. D-Day in D.C. Nats baseball coming up very shortly. They're taking on the Pirates. A bone to pick with Major League Baseball in about 10 minutes here on 106.7 The Fan. We'll take some of your phone calls. What do you got on the grill? How you like your hot dog? Anything 4th of July related? 800-636-1067. I have been a supporter of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Their wedding was yesterday. They are married. She is now maybe potentially Taylor Kelce. I'd imagine she's keeping the stage name of Taylor Swift because that's a $1 billion enterprise.
I mean, think he's taking her name maybe?
Maybe a hyphen, Travis Kelce Swift.
There you go, man.
How crazy. Honestly, let me tell you this, Chris, because this is actually a great point. I'm glad you brought this up. If Travis Kelce was really about the action the way that Taylor Swift is, and what do I mean by that? She's an uber capitalist. She released like 36 different variations of the same album that made an insane amount of money. She is a legitimate money-making machine. If Travis Kelce is even just a fraction of the money-making machine that Taylor Swift is, he would do the hyphen for a year. And he would strike some sort of deal with the NFL, with Fanatics, whoever supplies jerseys, trust me, if you want to strike a deal with that slime ball Michael Rubin, you probably could. He just wants to be a part of things. I do not like him. I did not love that Trey Young was at the Michael Rubin all-white party. I loved that Jaden Daniels was very much not. Seeing him at a soccer game and not the all-white party was such a win over the past couple of days. But if Travis Kelce wants to strike a deal, he should do the hyphen for a year, because those jerseys would go so hard if you're a Swiftie.
I mean,
because you would get Swift on the jersey.
He should. I'm not even talking about hyphen, man. I mean, she has the more valuable name in that couple by far.
By far.
You know?
It's not even close.
And there's already DeAndre Swift on the Bears.
There is the DeAndre Swift on the Bears, but I think, and this is a good thing, I think we've reached the point with Swifties football fandom that they like the Chiefs more.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? So, like, they want to support Taylor, and therefore they want to support Travis, because that's clearly, that is the husband. I mean, she's been singing about finding a man, like a real man, for 20 years now at this point, and she has found one in the form of the tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. So that jersey would go crazy. The NFL, if Travis Kelce doesn't, like, I want him to take advantage of those sales, because someone is going to do it. The NFL is going to do it. Somebody is going to do it. So he might as well, like, strike a deal to where he gets a cut of the hundreds of millions of dollars that that would bring in. Did you pay attention to the coverage of the wedding? Saying that, that's an insane sentence to say out loud. The coverage,
like, it's like a royal wedding.
I mean, it basically is America's royal wedding, because, like, who else do you care about in this country that's going to get married in a way, a spectacle, the way that they did? Certainly not a damn politician. So this is the royal. I'm way more comfortable with this being the royal wedding than any other option.
I was watching Wimbledon. So
that's a better option. I would give you that. I was watching this because it did feel like an episode of Black Mirror. Just, there were so many people, celebrities, that went to the wedding, that we know went to the wedding. And as someone that recently got married within the last year and change, right, last April, the planning of a wedding is a very big thing. Now, Taylor Swift has the funds to where she can, hey, you deal with this. I want it to look like this, but I'm going to let you handle all the plan. Like, she could allocate and have a bunch of different people around to plan all of these things, right? But the guest list was what I was the most intrigued with, because you rented out Madison Square Garden, and you can fit a lot of people in Madison Square Garden. And there were a lot of people that seemingly showed up. I laughed my rear end off when a video of Mike Vrabel getting into a truck to go to the wedding with his wife, not Diana Rossini, his wife. That was hilarious to me, given everything that has happened over the last few months, but really the last, like, 6 years with them. That was funny to me. But I'm seeing a bunch of these people, and I'm like, do you actually know them? Like, is there a real friendship, a relationship with some of the people that are showing up to this wedding? Or is this literally just like a mega celebrity? It's not even Hollywood, because it was in New York. But just a mega celebrity, like, get-together, and, you know, kind of just dunking on Michael Rubin's all-white party, which, again, I'm fine with, because that thing creeps me out. But I was so confused with this. Because in one hand, if, like, a wedding is supposed to be this super intimate, really precious thing, and, again, Taylor Swift has been singing about this for 20 years, so you would think that she would hold that in very high regard. And then to see people that, like maybe they spent a little bit of time with, like, what is the relationship with, like, a Nikki Glaser? Like, does Joe Buck really get down with Travis Kelce? I hope he does. Tony Romo, does he really get down with Travis Kelce? Or is that just, hey, you're, like, kind of in the same circle, I'm gonna invite you to the wedding. Now, they have the money to do that. Your guest lists, you got to make some cuts if you don't have $1 billion. If you have $1 billion, you can get a little lenient and a little flexible with the guest list. But I was a little creeped out by some of the things. And then we get, like, a publicist making an announcement of when they officially got married. And that's where we found out that Adam Sandler was the officiant of the wedding, and that led to so many more questions. Because one, what did the Sandman say up there? Two, one of my pet peeves with weddings, I don't like jokes, like a lot of jokes during the ceremony. Get in and out here, right? Like 20 minutes. When my wife and I got married, we had a conversation with a guy that officiated our wedding, and he was fantastic. Like, hey, man, we don't want like a 40-minute situation here. Like, we'll give you 20 minutes top, you know, hit what you got to hit, marry us, and then we got, like, this is supposed to be a party afterwards. It's like Adam Sandler doing comedy bits up there. What's he wearing? As soon as I found out that Adam Sandler was the officiant of the wedding, I was way more intrigued with what he was wearing than I was with what Taylor Swift was wearing, because Adam Sandler is known for wearing, like, joggers or baggy shorts and zip-up hoodies. Are you wearing a baggy short zip-up hoodie situation to wed Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift? I would hope not. But these are questions I don't have answers to.
So I'll tell you the one thing about how well people know them. I mean, look, when you're got to fill up a space like Madison Square Garden, and you always know when you have like a wedding, like what? Like half the people just can't make it because they're just busy that weekend or something. You can't have MSG looking empty on TV, and you know it's going to be on TV.
It is going to be on television.
So like, you kind of got to start inviting people that you may not know that well, because you got to fill a lot of seats, and nobody knows a Madison Square Garden amount of people that closely. You just don't have enough time in your life to do that.
So, like, that's that. There's more. See, you've led me to more questions. Why Madison Square Garden? Because I remember in the early stages of the engagement, they almost kicked somebody off of, like, Taylor Swift almost paid millions of dollars for a venue on, I think it was June 13th, because 13 is like her favorite number or something. She almost paid millions of dollars to move someone else's already scheduled wedding at a venue that she really loved on that day. Like, they didn't have to choose Madison Square Garden. Was that just for the television side of things? Because you're right, this is going to be likely on Disney Plus. I mean, she had the deal with the Eras Tour on Disney Plus, so it'll probably be on Disney Plus. And like, I'm not going to sit up here and talk like I'm not going to watch the thing. I will. And I'll probably watch it the day that it drops, if I'm being honest. Like, I'm a hypocrite in that regard. That is content. It's going to be great content. Hopefully it drops before the NFL season starts, or like maybe around Christmas, something like that. I'm going to watch the thing. But it's just like, it's very odd. Like, you didn't have to do that. Look, if they're happy, who cares? I wasn't invited, clearly. If they're happy, who really cares? It just felt, it felt very, very strange to me. You're right about that guest list thing, by the way. And I don't want to like flex or brag here. My wife and I, when we were planning our wedding, had that same thought. Like, oh, we're probably going to get like 30 to 40% of people that are going to say no to the wedding invite, which is fine. We had 80% of people say yes. And we're like, oh my God, now we have to pay more money because we got to find more chairs. We got to do all these different things because we had pictured 125 people coming and like 140 people said yes. I'm like, oh, great. Anyway, moving on here. I got a bone to pick with Major League Baseball, and it is largely about what's happening today on the 4th of July. It's D-Day in D.C., Denton Day at the Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan. D-Day in D.C., 106.7 The Fan. It is the 4th of July. We're celebrating the 250th birthday of America. If you're outside, get the water. Be hydrated. It is so damn hot. And it's been so damn hot over the past few days in the city, around the city. So just make sure you're enjoying your festivities, and then you'll be able to wake up tomorrow morning, because it is dangerously hot out there, and it will be at certain points of the day today. If you're throwing something on the grill, let me know what it is. You can shoot me some pictures throughout the course of the day, too, on Twitter, at The Denton Day. Fun fact here before I rip Major League Baseball a new one. The Wizards, this is a crazy statistic. The Wizards have 23% of all active first overall picks in the NBA right now, with DeAndre Ayton, A.J. DeBonta, and Anthony Davis. Now, this is crazy for two reasons. One, the Wizards have three first-round picks, and then we're potentially maybe kind of sort of in the LeBron James sweepstakes before he narrowed his list of 30 teams, or 29 teams, rather, down to 10, with the Wizards not making the cut. But it's also crazy that there's really not a lot of first overall picks that are still actively playing in the NBA, because if three guys make up 23%, that's not a lot of guys that are still active. You're looking at 12 or 13 dudes, and you would think that first overall picks would be able to still be active and still be going, you know, 10, 15, that's like potentially 20 years.
13 years of them, though. That's still a lot.
It is still a lot, but I would, you know, I would hope that if you're drafted, I hope A.J. DeMonta plays more than 13 years. At number one overall, the way that we are celebrating, I want them all to be here. I'm selfish, Chris. I want a lot. I want 15, 16 years of DeBonsta. Anyway, I just found that to be interesting. Nats Pirates at 11:05. Pregame starts in about 30 minutes here on 106.7 The Fan. Today should be a great day for Major League Baseball. Today will not be as good of a day for Major League Baseball as it should be. Every single team is in action. That's a massive win. Thumbs up. From that standpoint, Major League Baseball does a great job. You want every team to play on the 4th of July. There are two games that are nationally televised. You have every single team in your operation playing on a day where there is next to no sports. Unless you consider the hot dog eating contest to be must-watch television, there is next to no sport going on this Sunday. You had an opportunity to dominate the day, and they have completely dropped the ball. The only two games that are nationally televised, you get the Twins and the Yankees at 1:35, which another issue with Major League Baseball and dropping the ball. The Nats kick the day off at 11:05. Then you get the Yankees at 12:35, and there's a two-and-a-half-hour gap between the next slate of games with Detroit and Texas at 4:05. Now, I know in various points of the country, this one in particular, right, it's hot, and there are places where you cannot play at like high noon in the summer heat. Totally understood. But you got to spread these things out a little bit more. This is your day. You are the talk of the town. You are the prettiest girl in class. You are everything. This is your day. You should be dominating, and it feels like they are treating the 4th of July like an afterthought. It should be a fire hose of baseball to the common fan in a way that's similar to like the beginning of the NCAA tournament, when you could at any given time be watching five different games. At any given time, you should be able to be watching at least three or four different Major League Baseball games on the 4th of July. And the fact that they're not doing that is a travesty. And then on top of that, the fact that games aren't on nationally televised platforms is a travesty. I know Fox has the World Cup and they're going to prioritize the World Cup today, but Fox has FS1 and they have a bunch of different places where you could place games on and you decided not to. You're Major League Baseball. You could cut deals. You have business relationships. You could throw some stuff on TBS. You could throw some stuff on like streaming exclusive with Max. There are so many different ways to put games on television. They're not even doing the streaming bit. Like, it's not like they have a deal with a Peacock or a Prime or anything like that. They have their MLB.TV package, which if you're a diehard baseball fan, you're locked in on. If you're not a diehard baseball fan, you're not locked in on that. You might have your team's package, and that's it. And even that might be pushing it because you're hoping for local television to do a lot of the heavy lifting and not paying to watch your team. But the fact that they have two nationally televised games and one of them is at 1:35, and the next one is at 8 p.m. when you're going to be out and about. At that point, at 8 p.m., you're setting up for fireworks. You're at the spot where you're going to be watching fireworks, wherever that is for you. No nationally televised games between 1 and 8 in Major League Baseball. None. Not a single one. They have people in their operation that are paid to make these decisions and to make them well. And this is a failure. An absolute failure by Major League Baseball. On top of that, this is where things might get a little bit more dicey, because how much do you really want to police the way that Major League Baseball teams run their own personal operation and their own personal organization? But when you look up and down the list of the pitching matchups, there is an absence of megastars pitching on the 4th of July, which again, should be Major League Baseball's day. Where is Paul Skenes? I'm also salty that Skenes isn't going to pitch in D.C. at all in this run with Pittsburgh in Washington. Where is Paul Skenes? Where is Shohei Ohtani? You'll still see Shohei with the Dodgers, but man, it would have been nice to see him pitch. Now, granted, you'll see Yamamoto for the Dodgers, but that's going to be late, first pitch at 10. Where are the superstars? I want to see the great pitchers. If I'm a casual fan, and you're going to really make me work to watch some of these games because you're not putting them on national television, if you're going to really make me work to watch some of these games, you better help me out a little bit and give me some superstars. You better put some really badass dudes on the mound and say, hey, you should go watch a Paul Skenes on the 4th of July. Like, who doesn't want to see Paul Skenes on the 4th of July? We're instead going to get Braxton Ashcraft for the Pirates, who I'm expecting the Nationals to beat the hell out of today on the 4th of July, expecting James Wood to go yard on the 4th of July. But I want the stars. The fans want the stars. So you're not putting games on national television, and there's just not a lot of these super badass pitchers that your casual fan is going to know. This is a travesty. Rob Manfred and the scheduling department, they have committed a crime that we are all witnessing. One of my big passions is scheduling, by the way, in the way that you schedule nationally televised stuff and taking advantage of windows and taking advantage of the American public's attention span. And Major League Baseball historically has been very, very poor at this. And today is an example. So you get a Fox game as well. You either get Atlanta and New York, the Mets, which if you're in D.C., that's likely the one that you're going to get, considering how those teams are in relation to the Nationals and division rivals. The other option is the Cubs and the Cardinals. Both of those games are at 8. So you get one or the other, it seems, for Fox. It's just not enough. That's just not enough because nothing else is happening during the day. Honestly, the WNBA should have done something like this too. The WNBA not scheduling Caitlin Clark and the Fever on the 4th of July is a swing and a miss. Your options are a Yankees and Twins baseball game at 1. You get Canada-Morocco at 1, which that could be an interesting match in the World Cup. You get Paraguay and France at 5. That'll be interesting for like 20 minutes, and then France will be up 2-0 because France is a juggernaut in the World Cup.
That's what the Germans thought.
If Paraguay pushes France, I'll be doing the show naked tomorrow. It's not going to be streamed, so don't get too excited. But a Paraguay pushes France.
I am not excited, just so you know.
Hey, I did some push-ups this morning. Easy there. You know, I did push-ups yesterday, too. That's 2 days in a row for me. Don't be that excited, though. Although, I'm going to be burning calories because I'm going to step outside of my house for more than 2 seconds. Maybe that's the nice thing about this heat is it forces you to burn calories because you don't have an option if you stand outside. But those are the only, like, really options that you're getting on the 4th of July and the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, which sometimes I feel like the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest is, like, more of a bit than it is an actual thing. I've never sought that out. There has never been a time in my life, and there will not be a time in my life, where I sit down, I make time out of my day on the 4th of July to sit down and watch people slam, disgustingly slam hot dogs down their gullet. If that's your vibe, more power to you. I'm judging you, but more power to you. I just don't get it. Chestnut, not my guy. Not interested in that at all. So you get that too, maybe if that's your speed, but that's like all the sports you're getting. Baseball games are happening, but they're just not happening during the day and they're not nationally televised. And that's a failure. I'm Denton Day at The Denton Day on Twitter. I do have a couple of plays that I am going to share with you mostly in regards to the Nationals and the Pirates. And a few more other things to touch on when we get back, close up shop, and then get you set for Nats Pirates pregame. That comes your way when we get back. It's Denton Day in DC on 106.7 The Fan. Nats and Padres pregame coming up in about 10 minutes here on 106.7 The Fan. I'm Denton Day, D-Day NDC, at The Denton Day on Twitter. I had to share this particular story before we got out of here. I do have some potential plays if you're in the gambling space for today. But the England and Mexico match in the World Cup on Sunday is going to be hard. Literally. I stumbled across a story. So I was not aware. Again, I'm not like a geography king over here. I know American geography halfway decent. You get outside of the walls of the USA, not great. I was not aware at the elevation of Mexico City. I knew it was up there. I did not know that it is higher up from sea level than the likes of like Denver. And I'm sure this has been a conversation when American sports play in Mexico City, but it's just not something that was on the front of my mind. And England was granted permission to utilize, to deal with the elevation, Viagra. Yes, that kind of Viagra. You heard that correctly. The British national team, England's national soccer team, is going to be utilizing Viagra in an effort to deal with the elevation of Mexico City for their match against Mexico, which, by the way, is going to be a crazy, crazy environment. I hope that the Seattle match with Team USA and Belgium on Monday is even a fraction of how crazy it's going to be in Mexico City when Mexico hosts England. I mean, you are not going to get, that is going to be 100-0 in favor of Mexico. You are a crazy human being if you are a supporter of England and you are going to walk into that. You are a nuts person if you're going to do that. But they're going to be using Viagra to help with the elevation, which is a thing that apparently works. They had to ask for it. They got permission. I pity the person that actually had to make that request. Like, how do you make that phone call? You call somebody up at the FIFA and be like, hey, we need to use a drug that is commonly used for some help in the bedroom.
So someone had to call up and be like, look, I need like 100 bottles of this. It's for someone else.
It's not for me. It's for a friend. He's not here at the phone right now. It could give us one of the most hilarious, yet also nightmares, if you're a television executive, one of the most hilarious offsides predicaments ever. Anyway, moving forward here, we're not going to spend too much time there. We've talked about a lot of different things. I do have some plays for the Nationals and the Pirates today. It's going to be Braxton Ashcraft on the mound for Pittsburgh, and it's going to be Carson Palmquist on the mound for Washington. That's a change. It was supposed to be Zach Little, so it's going to be Carson Palmquist on the mound for Washington. A little bummed at no Little, because that was the expectation, but you move forward, you fight on. So Palmquist on the mound for Washington. Some plays coming up here momentarily before we send you off to Nationals pregame to get you set for the game. If you're going to the game, hydrate, please, especially if you are sitting in one of the many sections that is exposed to the sun. It is going to get hot as hell out there. So please, please.
Also, should mention, they usually have a farmer's market right in front of the Metro right there on Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
They've actually moved it to right in front of our building today. So, you know, if you want to pick up a snack or something on the way, they got some cool produce and meat and other stuff there.
The Navy Yard Farmer's Market.
Yeah.
Goes crazy.
Yeah, they got dope empanadas there too, by the way.
They got empanadas. They got baked goods out there. Literally, as soon as we pack up here. I'm not going to that farmer's market, but I am going to a farmer's market in Virginia. I go silly for a farmer's market. This is how I know I'm getting old, or I'm just a millennial. Millennial men go silly for farmer's markets. We love a good farmer's market. Get a nice baked good. Get a coffee out there. Get some fresh produce. I'm hoping that I could find some good peppers and onions to make with the sausage and the brats that I'm going to be grilling today to go along with hot dogs. I don't know that I'm going to put peppers on a hot dog, but maybe you chop an onion up, put that on the hot dog with some ketchup, some mustard, something like that. Be situated, be right for the 4th of July. If you got meat that you're smoking and you want to share that at The Denton Day on Twitter, you can send that to me throughout the course of the day. You can send it to me tomorrow. I'm going to be back on the air tomorrow as well. There's one thing that I wanted to touch on. We talked about this a little bit over the course of the 90-minute show today. LeBron James and the Wizards are donezo. You know, the relationship that many of us on social media looked a little bit too deep into because LeBron was open to anybody. And there was a report from Scoop B. Robinson that said, watch out for the Wizards. And it wasn't hard to connect the dots to LeBron and the Wizards. Anthony Davis is here. There was the rumor earlier in the week that LeBron would only sign in Golden State if they traded for Anthony Davis. Rich Paul reps Anthony Davis. So there's a lot of connection of the dots that would have lured potentially LeBron James here to Washington, D.C. But on the whiteboard that Rich Paul posted on social media and that was present in a podcast, the Wizards were not on the whiteboard, so that is done. LeBron to D.C. is over before it ever started, and we're all heartbroken, right? No. This is a win for Washington. I'm glad that the sweepstakes for LeBron in 2026 are going elsewhere. Now, if he just wanted to sign and not do this like weird televised thing and have his agent go on a podcast and break down, and really Rich Paul was sitting there on a podcast basically pleading for the Knicks, who were coming off of a championship, to sign LeBron James. He was pleading for them to sign LeBron James. If the Knicks did not win a championship, LeBron would sign with the Knicks. That is a literal quote from the podcast. He was begging New York to make the call. He was begging Jalen Brunson to call LeBron James and say it would be okay. That is also a literal quote from the podcast. It was kind of embarrassing. Like, the wall fell a little bit. For years, Rich Paul has been looked at as this incredibly powerful figure in NBA lore. And I still think he is incredibly powerful, but he was like the top dog. And then to hear and watch him sit on a podcast and beg for somebody to sign his top talent in LeBron James, that was wonky, dude. Like, really, really odd to see that take place and to see that transpire. And that's what really turned me off. Like, I'm glad now that the Wizards are not involved in that. Because what they're building, they don't need that. Whatever that is, I'm good on it. I'll just take DeBonsta. This roster can already go like 10, 11 deep. I'll just ride with that, and then the Wizards will be fine. I'm good on the LeBron thing at 40 with that going on. All right, I promised you some plays. We get the Nats, we get the Pirates. It's a solo game until 1:35 when the Yankees and the Twins start. But Nats Pirates, first game of the day, the 4th of July, as it should be. The obvious play is going to be James Wood anytime homer plus 275. Stars. Big time player in a big time game. I know it's not nationally televised. I'm furious it's not nationally televised. But big time player, big time game on this date. It feels like a Nats superstar always hits a homer on the 4th of July. That dates back to Juan Soto. That dates back to Bryce Harper. James Wood now occupies that space of being the face of the franchise. James Wood, anytime homer, plus 275 for the Nationals. That's a must for DC. Then it gets a little weird. If it was Zach Little, I'd feel a little bit more confident in Washington. It is instead Carson Palmquist, who just hasn't played a lot. He's only pitched 4 1/3 innings this season. I wouldn't call that necessarily being in a groove. Now, he was good in those 4 1/3, but I wouldn't call that being in a groove. And Braxton Ashcroft, 8-3 on the year, 3.33 ERA, 115 strikeouts. The Pirates have more than just Paul Skenes in terms of good pitching on their roster, that does make me a little nervous. So I might go to a player prop. I don't do strikeout props. I do innings props. Say how many innings or how many outs? I do outs props. How many outs are you going to line up? And once it's made available, it's not yet because the books are scrambling because they did not think that Palmquist was going to be pitching for Washington. But once that makes available, you're going to have to look at that number. And if that number is like 15 and a half, you might have to take that seriously and say they don't think that Palmquist is going to go very far or very deep into this game. I still like the Nationals to win, though. I'm taking them on the money line, too, because why the hell not? They're an underdog at home on the 4th of July. It's unpatriotic to not bet the Nationals. I'm betting the Nationals, so my two bets for sure, James Wood anytime homer, plus 275, Nats money line, plus 135. Let's have ourselves a 4th of July. Stay safe out there. Stay hydrated. I'm back tomorrow, 10 a.m., right here on 106.7 The Fan. Enjoy the 4th of July. I'll see you tomorrow.